It's September 12th, 2016, and you're listening to Monday Morning Meetings on Migration, a conversation about migration and politics at the University of Amsterdam. I'm Darshan Vigneshwaran, and to all of our listeners, welcome back. I hope you've enjoyed your summer if you're in the north, your winter if you're in the south. The team at Forum have been really busy over the summer. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to relaunch the podcast in partnership with Open Democracy, the world's leading online resource for publicly engaged scholarship. And we're really excited about this new development. But more on that to come. Today, we're going to return to the issue of Germany's evolving policy towards migration and security. As everyone knows, Angela Merkel has been praised internationally and pilloried at home for her generous stance on refugee reception. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've begun to see a tougher side to the government's approach, with Minister for the Interior, Thomas de Maizière, tabling a proposal for wide-ranging changes to Germany's security and anti-terror policy. This 16-page proposal, which you can find posted on our blog, calls for increases in police numbers, changes to data protection laws and protocols, and new methods of popular surveillance. Also, further restrictions to the country's already strict laws on dual citizenship. Now, crucially, the minister explained the laws as a direct response to recent terror incidents involving migrant affiliates of IS in Würzburg and Ansbach. Now, here to talk to us about these developments is Matthias Leser. Matthias is a senior researcher at the Center for Security Studies in the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. His work looks critically at the use and deployment of new security practices and technologies. Hi, Matthias.
Hi, Darshan.
So I want to begin by asking you to walk us through this proposal a little. It runs to 16 pages of bullet point proposals, and each of them seems to be, you know, almost requiring legislation in and of itself. So it's really long. What do you think our listeners should be paying attention to most in that document?
I think it's kind of crucial to see that de Maizière makes reference to migrants who could be seen as a threat to public security in Germany. And as he said in an interview, there are actually hints from intelligence, from security authorities, that there could be terrorists among the arriving migrants. He said that in an interview with Bild am Sonntag. So while at the same time saying that, you know, conventional investigations and prosecutions are at an all-time high, he thinks there is still need for new tools. And I think if we look at that proposal that he put forward, there are three general themes, in my opinion. The first one is more police, the second one is more technology, and the third one is new legislation. Now, the first one, more police, I mean, this is actually not a new proposition, but it's rather a well-established fact that the police in Germany have been understaffed for many years now. So this is rather uncontroversial. What's more concerning or more interesting for me is the second point, more technology. So the proposal called for more surveillance, more CCTV operations, notably smart solutions. For instance, a smart CCTV that can actually recognize abandoned luggage in an airport and then automatically, you know, trigger an alarm. There's call for facial recognition software that could automatically detect, you know, people and then cross-check with databases for criminals and so on. There's stuff about the implementation of the European Passenger Name Record System, which would essentially record passenger details for all inner European flights. There's a heavy emphasis on enhanced interoperability between national and European databases, for example, the Visa and Schengen information systems, Eurodac, the European fingerprint database, the planned entry access system that is now currently negotiated at the European level. It additionally calls for automated retrievals and cross-checks between those databases. It calls for a new IT security authority in Germany with a heavy emphasis on cyber intelligence, internet surveillance. There's a plan to have undercover investigators, particularly for, you know, secured communication, but also for illegal darknet activities. So there's a lot of technology in there, and I guess we will come back to this later on in terms of what this means in detail. But there's also a third theme, and this theme is new legislation, and this is the one that really concerns me as a scholar as well as a citizen. So in the proposal we have tightened law concerning foreigners, which includes possible denaturalization in case you have a double citizenship and you committed an offense. We also have shortened residential status and faster expulsions in case of false declarations at immigration. We have, stricter expulsion regulations, a tightened right of residence for foreigners who have committed a crime. People can now, or at least according to the plan, people could then be arrested for being a threat to public security, which I think is a very vague term and not yet really specified in legal terms. And there's also security checks for migrants, including, checking social media accounts, smartphones, etc. So there's a whole bunch of proposed legislations that would heavily target foreigners and particularly migrants.
So, given that combination and the fact that there are a range of laws which are specifically targeted as migrants as threats, and others which seem to cover a range of potential security threats which have nothing to do with migration but have more to do with, in general, beefing up Germany's security apparatus, how should we read this bill? Is this an attempt, should we read it as an attempt by the CDU to toughen up on immigration in the lead up to the next election? Or is there something else going on here?
To be honest, for me, it is certainly a bit concerning in terms of how central migration is as the theme in there. So, as I mentioned before, de Maizière said that there are hints that there could be terrorists among the arriving migrants. And, particularly the proposed changes to residency status and possible denaturalization. As well as this new criminal offense of being a threat to public policy, public security, sorry, and the planned security checks for migrants make it very clear to me that migration is here seen as an kind of an extraordinary threat that must be countered with extraordinary measures. And this is what in political science or in international security studies we would rather call a rather classic fashion of what we could call a securitization move. So this means that framing a certain issue, in this case migration, as threatening and then introducing, based on this threat image, new laws or police competencies to tackle the threat. And I think we do touch upon a quite delicate issue here, because on the one hand, I mean, there is no denying that there are bad people out there. The Islamic State is a very real danger. Violent extremists in general are a very real danger. But at the same time, on the other hand, I think security is a quite abstract concept, because there can never be security as such, but only something that threatens the status quo in which we feel secure. And those threats can be virtually anything. So it can range from, social security to job security, the environment, climate change, and so on, up to more traditional security issues like, military capacities of an enemy or terrorism. My point here is that if you manage to convincingly establish something as threatening, then it becomes part of security politics. What worries me with this proposal is that the proposal actually, seems to be so custom tailored towards migration.
Yeah, I just want to pick you up on one of those measures that you talked about in terms of security, and this idea of someone being able to be arrested if they're deemed to be a threat to public security. Who gets to decide that? Who gets to decide whether an individual walking down the street is a threat to public security? Is that something that you envisage being in the hands of your ordinary police official? Or, I mean, you're saying that it's not grounded as of yet in any German law that you know about. How is that determined?
Well, first of all, I should probably say that I'm not a legal scholar. So please take everything that I say now with a pinch of salt.
Done.
But yeah, I mean, I could imagine that, when the legislation is actually drafted, people will be very careful to really specify this threat to public security and make it really, really proof in terms of not giving carte blanche to security agencies to just arrest anyone based on some made-up claims. So I guess rather than speaking about something that has not emerged as concrete legislation here, we should probably wait and try to assess that later on when it's really, you know, something that we can talk about in substantial terms.
So we've been accustomed to seeing bills of this sort in the aftermath of terror attacks. And in some cases, all of the legislation is passed. In other cases, they're more being used as a bargaining tool in an effort to get some measures through while leaving others on the table. Is the CDU playing that sort of political bargaining game with this legislation or these proposals? Or do you see most of these as likely to get through prior to the next election?
To be honest, that's probably a quite tough question to answer. In my opinion, there's a couple aspects to that. Certainly, the proposal picks up current discussions, and there is a general expectation for a Ministry of the Interior to deal with attacks such as the ones in Würzburg and Ansbach. Secondly, I think we must keep in mind that what we are talking about here is actually more of a general concept. And like I said before, the proposal will need to be translated into, you know, concrete legislative proposals that will be drafted at the bureaucratic level. And during that process, some of them will certainly undergo changes because they need to be coordinated among many stakeholders. There's budget aspects to that, there's legal frameworks. And many of the points are long-term proposals anyway, and many of them also depend on EU-level legislation and technology development. So the general plan, according to de Maizière, where he said at the press conference, where he introduced the proposal, is to have it ready before the next federal election, which is going to take place in fall of 2017. So we have a time window of roughly a year now. And I think, I mean, looking at the past, I think we have seen that security legislation has been heavily contested by civil society. For instance, in the case of telecommunications surveillance and data retention, where it was argued that the law would actually collide with the data protection framework. But at the same time, in Germany, it's not common to start off with a maximum level of claims and then see what goes through and what goes not through. So in this specific case now, with the new security package proposal, I personally could see some of the measures that, you know, specifically target migration populations as clashing with anti-discrimination legislation. But again, you know, concrete estimates should probably only be made once the concrete draft is available.
Given what you're saying about all of these legislative proposals and measures being, you know, it's more like a long-standing wish list of the German security apparatus or the Ministry of the Interior, why now? And why are we seeing this initiative all being passed at the present moment? What's specific about the here and now that we're seeing all of these things being tabled at once?
I think it's probably a combination of many aspects, as is always the case in politics. But, you know, during the summer, Germany has, for the first time, actually experienced attacks that can be linked to the Islamic States, to the Islamic State. For the first time in many, many years, Germany has also experienced mass migration. So if you look at the current political debates in Germany at the moment, I mean, there's a lot of, let's say, right-wing, in inverted commas, populist parties and people who monger fears. And this is to a certain extent, this gets into political mainstream. So like I said before, I think a Ministry of the Interior in a times of insecurity, or at least perceived insecurity, is to a certain extent expected to, you know, react upon the fears of the population, whether they are legitimized or justified or not. So yeah, I mean, security politics is always kind of a reaction to emerging threats. That has always been like that. And I think it's more of a common theme, actually. Plus, there's, of course, party politics, there's election next year, and so on and so on. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to factor into that decision to come forward with such a proposal right now.
Thanks, Matthias. I mean, it's been great talking to you. One thing just before we go, I mean, in your comments, you raise this really interesting tension, right, between the idea that these security proposals are in some way inflating a problem, taking the migration issue and making it seem to be a threat that it's not. At the same time, you're talking about a moment in which, for many Germans, these threats to their own personal security and the security of the nation have been made palpable and real and quite evident. How do we navigate that tension in how we're looking through this legislation as it goes through the process and as we see similar sorts of legislation and proposals appear across the continent in the coming months and years?
Yeah, great question. I mean, this is kind of like the red thread that goes through my research so far. And I think it's not easy to come to terms with this predicament. So, like I said, on the one hand, there are real dangers out there, and you know, dealing with those dangers in a globalized world, where we have free movement within Europe, where we have mostly open borders, where we have, you know, people, goods, cargo, etc., moving around the world, dealing with those dangers is quite tough. So, you know, on the one hand, we need this openness, and we don't want to imagine a continent of, you know, secluded nation states as we had before the European Union. But on the other hand, potential attackers can be among those across the borders. So this is like the basic predicament for any security authority. And against this predicament, I think we must understand this desire to, you know, gather so much data, to link up databases, to have more surveillance, to have facial recognition, biometrics, etc. Because it's through analytics and intelligence based on those data that authorities actually try to identify who could be a terrorist or who could be making false asylum claims, etc. And now this is, of course, kind of like the you know, the tipping point where it turns into some kind of Orwellian dystopia, you know, where it could actually come to a point at which the authorities could know a great deal about us as citizens. Where we are, you know, what we are buying, what we are eating, doing, who we have contact with, and so on. And this, of course, clashes, you know, with privacy and intimacy and also with the legal concept of data protection that intends to limit those infringements on our privacy. But the problem that I see here is that surveillance and data analytics are today supported by the sheer amount of data that we produce every day, and of course by increasing storage capacity, you know, computational power coupled with enhanced algorithms and so on. And this is a longer trend that we have witnessed for at least the past two decades, if not even longer. And I personally think it's quite hard to contest that long-term trend. But in any case, I think we need, you know, strong data protection laws. We need purpose limitation for data. We need to make sure that data are only shared when necessary, only between authorized parties, etc., etc. But you know, to bring this to a conclusion, unfortunately, a lot of what is in de Maizière's proposal goes into the quite opposite direction. So my hope is that when the proposal becomes actually translated into concrete legislation, that civil society and or the Constitutional Court will actually step in and, you know, say, draw a line in the sand.
Well, we can only hope. Thanks, Matthias. You've been a great guest. For those of you who are interested in finding out more about Matthias's research, you can find links to his staff page and a sample of his work at our blog, 4mpodcast.com. Monday Morning Meetings on Migration is run by the Institute for Migration and Ethnic Studies at the University of Amsterdam. You can access us on iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe for our updates on Twitter or Facebook. Come October, we'll be posting direct to the Beyond Trafficking and Slavery subsite of Open Democracy. As always, if you have suggestions about a story you'd like us to feature, or would like to post an audio rejoinder to something that has been said on a previous podcast, please send us an email at imes@uva.nl.